As we continue to meditate that on that phrase, my life is hid in Christ my Lord, in Christ my Savior, that my heart will have Him as the Lord, that I will pursue His agenda, and I will do everything for His namesake, pleasing to Him. And here's a story, at least it's helped us to focus upon this morning, the Lord of the heart. Luke chapter 6, and we'll be reading from 1 to 11. Now it happened that he was passing through some grain fields on the Sabbath, and his disciples were picking the heads of grain, wrapping them in their hands, and eating the grain. But some of the Pharisees said, "Why do you do what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" And Jesus answering them said, "Have you not even read what David did when he was hungry, he and those who were with him, how he entered the house of God and took and ate some of the consecrated bread, which is not lawful for any to eat except the priest alone, and gave it to his companion?" And he was saying to them, "The Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath." And on another Sabbath he entered the synagogue and was teaching, and there was a man there whose right hand was withered. The scribes and the Pharisees were watching him closely to see if he healed on the Sabbath, so that they might find reason to accuse him. But he knew what they were thinking, and he said to the man with the withered hand, "Get up and come forward." And he got up and came forward. And Jesus said to them, "I ask you, is it lawful to do good or to do harm on the Sabbath, to save life or to destroy it?" After looking around at them all, he said to him, "Stretch out your hand." And he did so, and his hand was restored. But they themselves were filled with rage and discussed together what they may do to Jesus. Lord, fill our heart with love for you instead, and fill our heart with devotion to you and commitment to obedience of your word. We thank you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this morning, as you will see, we have two texts in the outline, and I'll connect that in a minute. But we are coming to a one of the most important sections in the gospel stories concerning the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the title that I chose for our lesson today is "The Lord of the Heart," is to capture the essence what Jesus is trying to do. And what the conflict with the Jewish system is all about. It is also, I hope, a connection to the matter of our heart this morning and the matter of our faith this morning as we submit to study the Word. Because it is a matter of the heart, and it is the fight for the heart of the and soul of the believer, and it is a fundamental conflict between the system of works and the system of grace as men stand before God in His presence. The text we just heard is one of the many incidents recorded in the four Gospels, classified as the Sabbath controversies. Many of them happen, and this is just one of them. But this is no mere controversy. It is a battle and fiercely engaged by both sides, by the religious establishment and by the Lord Himself in His Gospel proclamation. It is a conflict that is the main reason of hatred that leads to the murder and crucifixion of the Lord Jesus by the hand of His own people. As we will know that apart from His claim to be the Messiah, there is no subject on which Jesus came into such sharp conflict with the religious leaders of the Jews as in the matter of the Sabbath commitment. And Jesus set Himself squarely against the current teaching and focus of the people here. And in the details, we will see that it is not only the fight that they take to Him, but it is the fight that He takes to them. He picks the fight with them. He goes after them. He deliberately heals on the Sabbath in front of them, in their face, because He wants to challenge them and He wants to transform them. He wants to change them at this very fundamental understanding of Scripture. Because the dispute over the Sabbath law represents the incompatibility of the system of works observed by the people and the message of grace of the kingdom that Jesus brings. And at the heart is the question, how does one stand before the Lord? How can man please God and obey His will and thus enter into fellowship with Him and stand in His grace? And so Jesus, through the healing of the Sabbath, the works on the Sabbath, illustrate the heart and mind of God and the intention of God's law. But the Jewish leaders and the Jewish system and the people deny him of this authority to interpret the law that way. And they said that they themselves is the final say of the authority of the word in this subject. And so the conflict is at the core, and it turns people who are in opposition into murderers against him. But that is them, and this is us this morning. So as we look, as I look at the text this morning and the conflict between Jesus and the Jewish leaders and the back and forth on the claims and counterclaims and the challenges facing the issue of the Sabbath, we ask the question, what does that mean to us this morning? Because this is very fundamental in the way we approach Scripture and very fundamental in the way we live our Christian faith as well. You look at just the word Sabbath coming out almost every verse here in verse 2. Some of the Pharisees asked, why are you doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath? And then Jesus said to them, the Son of Man is the Lord of the Sabbath. In verse 7, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law were looking for reason to accuse Jesus. So they watched him closely to see if he would heal on the Sabbath. And then on verse 9, he said to them, I ask you, which is lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do evil, to save life or to destroy it? Obviously, you know, there's something deep running undercurrent here. And like I said, it is a question, how do we please God and obey His will? And so, as I struggle with this, and I ask the question, you know, if we're not careful, we might just approach this text as in a way, you know, to answer a curiosity question. Okay, how did the Jews, you know, observe the Sabbath? What's the conflict? But I want us to understand this more deeply and how it applied to us. So you will see in the text we have in the outline there are two parts and there are two texts, because I have to deal with the first one first, and that is, how do we observe the Sabbath? How do we come to this fundamental requirement and pattern of our life, before we can come back and say, how did the two go the way that they went, and what is Jesus doing to restore them back to the heart of God? And before we can go that way, we must say, where am I, and how do I stand before God's in this requirement? So as you see, A and B in the outline there, first is the commit. It is for us to commit to the centrality of God, and then we respond to the heart of God. So we will do the first one first today, part A, and we will say part B, which is the text we just read, for next time, because I think it will do us much more good first to start with us rather than with the conflict with the Jews, because then we will see that our hearts are very prone to go that way as well, and we need Jesus' instruction, challenge as well, to come back to God. So come to the centrality of God, we need to reestablish this matter of the Sabbath rest, the commitment of God's people, or respond of God's people to this principle that set God in the center of life. So I invite you to turn back actually to the Ten Commandments and look at the fourth commandment here, so that we can begin with that, and then next time we'll come back and tie that up to what's wrong with the people, why did they stray so far, and why do we see ourselves going that way with them as well. So please turn first to Deuteronomy chapter 5. We'll be reading from 12 to 15. And then I'll also read the parallel passage in Exodus chapter 20. But Deuteronomy 5, 12 to 15. Observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, or your male servant or your female servant, or your ox or your donkey, or any of your cattle, or your sojourner who stays with you, so that your male servant and your female servant may rest as well as you. You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out of there by a mighty hand and by outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to observe the Sabbath day. Turn also again backward to Exodus chapter 20. I'd just like to read that parallel passage because it also gives us another aspect of the reason why God established this way, and not just in the law for His people, but for all created being before Him. Exodus chapter 20, starting in verse 8 to 11. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male or female servant, or your cattle, or your sojourner who stays with you. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Now, as you see, as I mentioned before, there's no other issue that is so central to the work of the Lord Jesus among His Jewish people at that time, and that to create such a problem for them and such a focal point for Him in order to change them. And for us as well, you know, as first when we read this statement of the fourth commandment, it may seem okay, obvious, that we understand that, we try to do that. But I think, you know, it cuts a lot deeper for us as well. So I want us to come back to that. And the first one is to reestablish our commitment to the centrality of God in our life. So the key principle of the Sabbath, or the Sabbath rest, is the centrality of God in life. To put God at the center, to set the priority of God, that He is first in life, and to do everything with God as the reference point. Your Vietnamese has this word, tam tam, you know, I think it's interesting. It's a word to say, it's very important, it's very weighty, and it is in at the heart, or at the center. And I think that's what we say by the centrality of God. It is a very important, weighty matter, and it has to be at the heart of everything. And since our purpose of our study here, we cut right into the Ten Commandments to the fourth one, let me just remind you of the first three. You remember the first three? Well, the first commandment is that we again put God first in our life. You shall have no other gods before me. And basically he is saying that anything else or anyone else take first place in our life, we have entered into idolatrous and adulterous relationship and sin against God. So we must love God with all our hearts, our minds, our soul, and our strength. And that we shall have no other gods before me, he said. The second commandment, in our relationship with God, we must come to know Him as He reveals Himself to us. Not in our own image, not in our own speculation, not in our ways of understanding, but it is as He revealed to us. We do not turn Him into a utility God for our own benefit to exchange for our love and devotion, and not fit Him into our definition, ideas, theology, reasons, or experience. So he said, you shall not make for yourself an idol in the form of anything in heaven, above, or on the earth, or beneath, or in heaven, what is below. We will not make image to represent God. What's the third one? Turn to the next person and say, the third commandment is? All right. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. You shall not take the name of your God in vain. And so the call is, we are so driven by His glory as the ultimate goal of our life. We will do nothing that will mar His name. We will not take His name in vain. And we will be utmost in care in our words, in our attitudes, in our lives, to affirm His name, to proclaim His honor, and to be about His agenda, and therefore we will not misrepresent or in any way mar His name, His character. Now all those three open up for us the priority, the focus. But the fourth commandment is the thing that we practice it out. It tie all this the first three together, and the fourth commandment is where the all this truth intersects into our everyday life, into our time, into our money, into our work, and it is the most obvious way to show that we have God first, that we know who God is, and that we fear His name. And in the worship of God, in the commitment to that, is where, in the practical way, we live this out. But let me just take our time with you on this fourth commandment in a way, because I believe this is a very serious matter. And that's somehow, I believe that as God's people in general, we have, in a way, not treat this commandment correctly. We have distorted the meaning, the requirement, the significance of this great commandment, and somehow put it in a category of a lesser commandment. And let me explain that if somebody commit stealing or adultery, lying, we call that sin, right? Yes? We do? But when skip church, what do we call that? We don't call that sin. I'm asking, well, you why? You know, just to put it that way, that when we look at the Ten Commandments, we say, okay, I understand that. If you not honor your parents, or you murder, or you commit adultery, or you steal, or you bear false witness, you covet your neighbor's wife and his stuff, certainly that is sin. But then the commandments that sum up the relationship with God, and He said that set out a day, make that holy, and make it central in the relationship with you, a pattern of life and honor the Lord. And when we don't do that, we do not consider, in general, sin. And I think that is the mistreatment, and that is a misunderstanding, and more than that, it is a grave offense to the commandment of God that we need to recover and need to understand. Because there is absolutely no warrant to say that we only have 9 commandments left. The violation of the fourth commandment is a violation of God's all God's commandment, as James said. If you violate one law, you violate all the law of God. So the commandment is not very hard to understand. I mean, what is there not to understand? He said, "Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy." I mean, observe the Sabbath day and make it holy. Keep it holy. Separate it out. Remember it. It has a function. It has a place central to life. And that is what the call is, that we must come back and say, you know, why am I treating this less serious than lying, less serious than stealing? You know, if somebody put up a statue of Buddha right in front of the church and bow, you know, we hear about that. We go after him. We do a lot of things, right? Worship idols and all that, but if I skip church, if I do things on my own and neglect and abandon this fourth commandment, why is that in my heart I don't repent? And why is that the church say, okay, that's fine? It is not fine. It is to say that when the fourth commandment concerning the day, make it holy for the Lord, can be counted as maybe in, maybe out, then the whole Christian experience, the whole relationship with God, the whole effectiveness of the life for God and His kingdom will go down the drain. Let me put it that way. You know, so some of us may argue that the Sabbath is special law for the Jews in the Old Testament and associate with, you know, the ceremony law of the people. But we will establish that it is not so. It is the one of the 10 that is a unity that represent God's character, relationship before God, and how we live in a way that is pleasing to Him and consistent with Him. And you said, you know, but you know they used to stone people who break these commandments, and we don't do that anymore. Therefore, it's not that important. Well, you know, they stone people who dishonor the parents. They stone people who commit adultery. We don't do that anymore because God in His grace deferred judgment to the end of time for us in that way, if not the current consequences of it. Does not mean that we stop calling it sin. You know, if we call adultery sin, then we call in the breaking of the fourth commandment sin. And we must come back to say that the law and the word established for us to know the relationship and the place we stand before God. So, I say that there is a general lack of conviction on the significance of the day, and a general or maybe allowance for confusion concerning this day. So let me just come back to that and let's establish the pattern of life. So the first point here is we set the right pattern of life. We must set the right pattern of life because this is what God wants us to do. This is what He instructs us to do. As a matter of fact, this is how He set up the whole life system, the whole pattern from creation until time's end, and that is the pattern of the day central to God. Set God at the center, and everything orbits around Him and around this day. So the first thing we must understand, this commandment is a pattern. It is a pattern of life. When we say pattern, what do we mean by that? It's something we repeat, right? We repeat. There's a manner that go, and 6 days we work, the 7 days set out for the worship of the Lord. And first let me say that it is the day that is the pattern. We set out the day. Normally we say, you know, I set out some time to worship. The matter here, as we hear, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but on the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. And that is to say, it is the day that is set out. It's not just sometime we choose to set out, but it is the day because it has to be a pattern for us, not so much a time to go to church, but it is the whole pattern of our life, priority of our life, the centrality of God in our life. So the first one is that it is a fixed pattern that God wants us to have. Now, secondly, I want to call attention to the way the commandment comes to us. As you hear that, it says, remember the Sabbath day. Okay, and then he said, observe the Sabbath day. The Ten Commandments started out with the pattern, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, right? And then the Fourth Commandment say, remember. Because it is not something new for the people. And it is the pattern that God set out in the creation itself. Even in Exodus, in the commandment that we just heard, that it is explained with that connection, verse 11. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. So it is fundamental. It's not the law. It is it's not just the law, or not just the law for the Jewish people. It is the pattern that He set out for all men, for everyone. That it is in this pattern of life He wants all men to recognize He is at the center. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 2 for that. Exodus just referred to, but it's good just to read from that to establish the point. Chapter 2, verse 1 to 3. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed, and all the host. By the seventh day, God completed His work, which He had done, and He rested on the seventh day from all His work, which He has done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it He rested from all His work which God has created and made. God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it. God set it out. So here we see the principle to help us to understand the significance of this day, or the significance of the fourth commandment. How do we follow and set the pattern of our life? God finished His work of the creation of the universe. And then God rested on the seventh day because the work is finished. And then He blessed that day, separated out for a separate function. And that is the pattern, and he sanctified or make it holy. And you will notice that we do not make the day holy. You know, we the day is already holy. It is already separate out. God already assigned it a separate function. We do not assign to it. We are called not to profane it. We are called not to violate it. We are called to observe it and make our life fit into the pattern that God already set out in the creation of the world. So basically, it is the 6 days work and the 7 day for a different kind or different focus. And that is called the day of rest, or the Sabbath rest of the Lord. Now, to understand this, I think we need to go back to the first time the word the Sabbath is mentioned. The Sabbath is mentioned not first in the law itself, but actually in the practice of the people when God sent them out to gather manna, and that is in Exodus chapter 16. And I think when we go there, we will really see what God means by setting that day separate, by creating a pattern, by not doing what you do in the 6 day, not to violate this day, and set that out so that we have the right pattern for our life. So turn with me to Exodus 16. I need to read the extended reading here, so good to have the text in your hand. And I'll start with verse 4 and 5. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day, that I may test them whether or not they will walk in my instruction. On the sixth day, when they prepare what they bring in, it will be twice as much as they gather daily." So he said that I'm going to provide for their existence. I'll provide bread for them. And this is not only for their existence, but to establish their relationship with me. I want to know how much they love me and how much they obey me, he said. This is the litmus test, he said, whether or not they will walk in my instruction. And that is on the sixth day, I will give them twice as much, so that they don't gather this on the seventh. We'll see that on verse 23. let me start 22. Now on the sixth day, they gather twice as much bread to omers for each one. When all the leaders of congregation came and told Moses, then he said to them, "This is what the Lord meant. Tomorrow is a Sabbath observance, a holy Sabbath to the Lord." By the way, this is the first time it is mentioned. "Bake what you will bake, and boil what you will boil, and all that is left over put aside to be kept until morning." So they put it aside until morning, as Moses had ordered, and it did not become foul, nor was there any worm in it. Moses said, "Eat it today, for today is the Sabbath of the Lord. Today you will not find it in the field. 6 days you shall gather it, but on the seventh day, the Sabbath, there will be none." It came about on the seventh day that some of the people went out to gather, but they found none. Then the Lord said to Moses, "How long do you refuse to keep my commandments and my instructions? See, the Lord has given you the Sabbath. Therefore, he gives you bread for 2 days. On the sixth day, remain every man in his place. Let no man go out of his place on the seventh day." So the people rested on the seventh day. And so when he gathered, you know, on the day of the week, if you gather more than you need, it will rot and it will become stinky and there will be worms in it. God is given a very graphic picture that you do not go above his provision. You do not go out of his way to take care of yourself, because it will rot, it will become stinky, it will not work. But on the sixth day, you can gather twice, and he will keep for the seventh day. And again, he is saying this, and he said that on the seventh day you go out, you will find none, because I will not provide for you on the seventh day. I provide on the other days, the sixth day, in order to take care of the seventh, but you will not do so on the seventh. And when people go out and do that, then God said, "How are you thick in the head or something? Don't you understand what I'm saying? That there will be none on the seventh day, and you need to follow this." So here is the principle set out for us as well, that God will provide enough so that no food need to be gathered on the seventh day. The sixth day, God allows the people to gather twice as much to keep for the seventh. And there's nothing to gather on the Sabbath, as I just mentioned. You don't gain anything. You just get God upset with you. There's none on the ground. God does not provide for the purpose of the Sabbath. Now, you may disobey and go out and gather, but the bottom line is that you will gain nothing but judgment from God on that. Now, as we work this out, we will see that the people of God get to the extreme application of this, and they miss the whole heart of God in this one, and that's why the Luke chapter 6 come in. But right now, we want to understand the original intention of God so that we can observe it in the spirit of the Sabbath and the fourth commandment God set before us. So, I just want to go back to the image of the stinking manna and the Magogs that happen when you gather more than God allows you to. So when he said that and you find that in verse 13 all the way to 21, and so when they gather more, it become it just rotten in their hands, and they have to throw it away. And God is telling them something like this: there is no loss, there is no economic loss if you do not work on the day he prescribed, and there is no gain if you do. Okay, let's hear that again. There is no loss on the day that he said you do not work, because he will guarantee that he will provide enough to cover the needs. But if you do, there's no gain. Actually, you will lose what you gather, and that you will see the pattern over again in this way. So the thing for us is that he wants us to plan out our life so that one day has a purpose, which we'll get to the next point. That is to set the right devotion of life, to focus that day as a center of our existence, of everything about us. But let me come back to the first one. It is a plan that we must follow, right? It is the plan that, okay, do your work in 6 days, whatever days that you need to do all the work that's required of you. The seventh day you have to set it aside, because it is a very different day for a very different purpose. And it is a commandment that God wants us to commit to, follow, and observe, and make it a pattern of our life. So we have 7 days in a week, right? How many days that we can work? And what happened to the seventh day? We need to set it aside. Very simple. It's not hard to understand. Now, as I say, you can err on the legalistic side and the thing that miss the heart of God. But I think on this side, we miss the heart of God as well when we say, you know, this is okay to break. This is up to me. As long as I have a desire, as long as, you know, I'm thinking about it, you know, as long as, you know, I'm only taking care of certain things of my life right now, but I'll come back to observe this again. No, God said, that is not the priority. That is not me at the center. And you miss the boat that way as well. So you have to plan it. You have to make sure that our life fit this pattern that you set it out. And it is here for us to pay attention to and to measure our life. You know, sometimes I feel like this. The people who need to hear this point is not here to hear it. Because they're not here to observe the Sabbath day, they're not here to listen to this. So in case you are there somewhere, in case you pick up the tape or somebody mentioned it to you, take this word seriously, because God is speaking to you. And he is saying that your life, if you do not fit this pattern, you're not pleasing to the Lord. You're not moving with your hearts open and with your life in the trust and in the direction of him. So let's review this. It is a fundamental pattern of life. It has to happen for us as a pattern of life. And God sanctified the seventh day. The seventh day for our life has to be set out. It is set out how many days? One day. It's not 2 hours of that day. It's not 3 hours of that day. It's not like, okay, I go to Anaheim, therefore I have to set out four hours the whole morning. It is the whole day, guys. Not that you have to be in church the whole day, but the day is set out for a special purpose. The distinction is not working for a living or self-advancement or the purpose of self on that day. And the distinction is that day is for the purpose of worship, as we will see in a moment. And there's no loss in obedience, but gain. God guarantees it. There is no gain in disobedience, but much pain. God guarantees it too. So we plan to observe this. Now, let's go back to Deuteronomy 5, because here, in a sense, God is bringing out another reason why we must observe this day. In Exodus, it says that it is apparent that God set out for all men since the creation of time. He said that after the creation, God set out the seventh day, and that is the pattern He wants us to observe, and that is the relationship that we must set before Him. But in Deuteronomy, it brings in the aspect or the component of salvation, of the understanding of deliverance and why we must respond to God in the observance of this day. It's not only the seventh day that set out for all men out there, as they take a day separate out from the rest, but for us, it has an extra meaning. For His people, there is another reason, or the absolute reason why we must focus. And that you can see that in Deuteronomy 5, verse 15. After saying, again, observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath day of the Lord. And explain to all the people involved in your life. And then verse 15. You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out of there by a mighty hand and by an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to observe the Sabbath day. It is because you understand what He has done for you. It is because you remember His salvation. It is because you understand His grace. It is because you remember that He has saved you and delivered you out of Egypt, and has shown you such power and such compassion, and therefore you understand that you will set out this day holy unto Him and set your devotion, your heart to Him. So that's the second point I want to make, and that is we have to set the right devotion of life. First, it's a pattern. It is a pattern, it's a habit, it is something that you must do. It is the planning of your life that it has to be observable, it has to be repeatable, it is something that's there for you to do in your life. But the second part is the devotion of the heart, the reason why you do that and the reason behind the observing of the day. You notice that it is saying that the Sabbath day of the Lord. And multiple times, even in the book of Exodus, 10 times, it say, it's the Sabbath day of the Lord, the Sabbath unto the Lord, the Sabbath holy to the Lord. So first thing is, it is the day for the Lord, is not the day for us. It is the day set out for Him and not set out for us. So it is the day belong to the Lord, the day holy, meaning separate out unto Him. So I want to note that it is the day, not just the day of rest. We have this notion of rest, meaning relax, right? The day that, okay, I work all week, and so the weekend is rest. So I catch up on sleep. Every day I get up and I go to work. I'm afraid I'm going to go there late and get fired, so I get up early. But Sunday, it's a day of rest. I can stay in bed a little longer. I can do whatever I want, and maybe show up a little late in church. So what? It's a day of rest. I can take it easy. Wrong. Turn to the next person and said, wrong. You picked the wrong day to relax. It is a rest, it's relaxed, but it's not the day that I can indulge myself and I can just give myself a little slack. You do that on Saturday, okay? In our time, we actually have 2 days that one day you can just do that, get up and, you know, wash the clothes you haven't washed for 2 months, do whatever you need to do, wash your car, do everything, but not Sunday. That day is not set out for us, for our rest in that sense. It is the rest in the Lord. It is how we commune with Him and how we grow with Him and how we set Him again centered to our life. It's like this, you know, God gave us the life to live, but He said, you know, you constantly come back and make this one statement. The Lord is the love of my life. The Lord is most important to me. The Lord is my life pursuit. I'm not pursuing my career. I'm not pursuing my family. I'm not pursuing my pleasure. I come back and every 7 days I come back and show it to the world, show it to myself, show it to my family, show it to everybody. The Lord is center to my life. He is my devotion. He is everything to me. And that is the pattern of life. And therefore in this day you don't just show up. You work out the salvation and you work out the obligation of the holy day. So let's take a look in this. First, turn with me to Leviticus chapter 23. It defines this day for us. And not it's the day of rest. You know, the Sabbath is the day, the day of rest there. But it defines what kind of rest. It defines what you do in that day. And verse chapter 23, verse 3. For 6 days work may be done, but on the seventh day there is a Sabbath to complete rest, a holy convocation. You shall not do any work. It is a Sabbath to the Lord in all your dwelling. If I read NIV, you see it explain a little bit more that phrase, a holy convocation. There are 6 days when you may work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of rest, a day of sacred assembly. You are not to do any work. Wherever you live, it is a Sabbath to the Lord. So it defined the Sabbath day, and then it say, okay, what do you mean by the Sabbath day? What do you do on the Sabbath day? It is a day set out for assembly. It is the day set out to worship. Not just set out to worship on your bed in front of the TV and, you know, we listen to some sermon or, you know, driving to the beach and listen to the CD on the radio so that or something, you feel less guilty. It is assembly. It is getting together with God's people. It is a day set out for corporate worship. And that is the point here. That is the definition. He said that this is the day, the Sabbath day. What is that day? The day for holy convocation. It is the day of sacred assembly. So if you're not in church, if you're not gathered with God's people on that day, if that day is not defined by that activity and the gathering of God's people, commitment to the worship together, you are breaking the law of the Lord. You are breaking the fourth commandment. You do not have God as the center of your life. And you must change, and you must commit, come back, and observe this instruction and this commandment again. But it is also the day to serve the Lord. It is you know, it's not just the day to show up and receive. When people come to worship the Lord at that time, they do a lot of work. They have to gather sacrifices, and they do all the preparation. And go through the whole thing, and you know, just the idea of to keep is a very active word. You know, remember the day and keep it holy, separate it out, serve, work to make it a distinction of that day. What is a distinction on the day then? The day is that you do not do the regular work that you do. You know, 6 days you do your regular work, or whatever you need to take care of life, family, and everything. On the seventh day, you don't do the same kind of work. You know, so if you need to wash your car, do it on a different day. If you need to run your errands, do it on some different day. You know, unless emergency and all that, as Jesus will point out, there's a day to do good, there's a day to save, there's a day to serve. You know, it's not like the Pharisee get all legalistic and then, you know, turn out to be all wrong again. But the spirit here is that you set out a day to serve the Lord. You set out a day to come and work it out. So I would say that that day has to be distinctive from the rest of your day. It has to be that a different kind of work. So if you are involved in church service, if you are in ministry, that is the best way to observe the day. It is the way to come honor the Lord in worship, in the day to serve Him, to carry out the work, the priestly work, as we see in the Old Testament as well as the New Testament. But it is a commitment and a sign. And here God takes that into a special relationship with His people. It becomes a sign of the covenant with Israel. So Exodus 31. Now this is where God takes the general principle, the pattern of life given to everyone, and then call it out to all the redeemed to respond to God as they remember His redemption, His deliverance, as we just read. And now He says, I'm going to make this even more special to My people. I want to make it a sign of covenant. It is a commitment between the people to God and God's His people. At Exodus 31, starting in verse 12. So, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, but as for you, speak to the sons of Israel, saying, you shall surely observe My Sabbath. For this is a sign between Me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord who sanctifies you. Therefore you are to observe the Sabbath, for it is holy to you. Everyone who profanes it shall surely be put to death. For whoever does work on it, that person shall be cut off from among the people. For 6 days work may be done, but on the seventh day there is a Sabbath complete rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day shall surely be put to death. So the son of Israel shall observe the Sabbath to celebrate the Sabbath throughout the generations as the perpetual covenant. It is a sign between Me and the sons of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, but on the seventh day He ceased from labor and was refreshed. And so when He finished speaking with him on Mount Sinai, He gave Moses the two tablets of the testimony, tablets of stone written by the finger of God. That is the Ten Commandments. So here God take it into a next level with His particular people, the people of Israel, as a specific covenant to them, that they must observe this law absolutely, so that to separate them out, not to be any confusion among them or between them and the people of the land. Now, you know, you say, good thing it's only covenant to Israel. Otherwise, you know, he said, you miss church, you die. That's kind of hard, because then nobody's going to be in church, you know. Then the church will be all empty. But let me point out to you that God took this very seriously as the sign of His people, and He enforced it. Turn with me to 2 Chronicles 36. Now, the people constantly break this law, break this commandment. People constantly, you know, skirt around it, as we do in our time. They find reason, okay, you know, if I don't plan the field, if I take the Sabbath, you know, what I'm going to eat, you know, how I'm going to deal with the stuff for the needs of my life, and all the things. So 2 Chronicles chapter 36, verse 21. Just sum up a statement for us here, that because the people who ignore this commandment and they violate these commandments, they till the land, they work the land, they do not observe the Sabbath rest, God said, I'm going to give them rest anyhow. So basically what He did, He moved the people out of the land. He said, you owe Me 70 years of rest. I'm going to move you into exile, so you don't do any work. You know, I'm going to take back what you took from this commandment. Remember, He said, you know, I guarantee that if you observe this law, there will be no loss. But if you disobey and you do it anyhow, there will be loss, in that there will be no gain. So verse 21, 36, 21, toward the end here. to fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah, until the land has enjoyed its Sabbath, all the days of its desolation, it kept Sabbath until 70 years were complete. The Lord was keeping track of the days and the time and the years the people took away from the Sabbath. And he said, you took 70 years away. I'm going to give it back. I'm going to give back the Sabbath to the land. Well, what he is saying is this, that do not think that you can decide to do whatever you want to do with immunity when it comes to this, because it is a pattern of life. It is a centrality of God in life. It is the basic response of the redeemed. Those who know the Lord, redeemed by the Lord, respond to Him by the worship. And it is the commandment, and specifically for the people of Israel, He set it out. It is a covenant between Me and you. You violate that with a penalty. And so it is a penalty that it is. Now, I keep reminding ourselves that the Pharisee reacted to that in an extreme way. They missed everything, because I don't want us to say, okay, then, you know, I can't even do anything on Sunday. You know, if I go to work, man, I'm going to go to hell. I'm not going to go that, because we must understand the hearts of God and the whole thing. But on the other side, like I said, we break this law regularly without calling it sin. That we do not observe this with the sincerity of heart and the commitment that ought to be, more than anybody else, the redeemer of Jesus Christ. That we have been redeemed by the blood, and we understand the devotion of our life. Why is it that it is a struggle for us to come every Sunday, that we are not making this the distinctive day of our life? That why is it that we struggle a lot just to meet the 9 o'clock meeting time? I mean, because we don't understand the whole process, the whole import, and the whole the importance of observe this day, make the Lord center, and surround your life with this commitment. Amos chapter 8 makes this accusation, and maybe. Maybe it is for us too. You know, a lot of people say, man, the Sabbath is too long. You know, he's still going. It's almost past 11. He's still at it. I wish I can get out of here and that kind of thing. And so Amos chapter 8. Now, I'm just only half joking to say this. You know, people say, how come you just say start on time and you never end on time? You know, I have the whole day. To observe the Sabbath of the Lord. Because of priority. I say, why in the hurry? Not that I just blow in smoke and say things that I can't stop. But hear this, Amos 8. Hear this, verse 4. Hear this, you who trample the needy, who do away with the humble of the land, saying, when will the new moon be over, so that we may sell again, and the Sabbath, that we may open the wheat market to make the bushel smaller and shekel bigger, and to cheat with dishonest scale. He said that, when is the worship to be over so we can get back to work? That's what he's saying. The people saying, you know, yeah, I'm going to show up at the temple, but get it over with so I can go back and do whatever I want to do and the priority of my life. Just like the guy, you know, who comes to the church and the pastor start out the worship and say, this is the day of the Lord. You know, let us rejoice and be glad in it. And he turned to the next person and say, let's rejoice and be glad in it and make it short. You know, it's just like, okay, let's rejoice the Lord, but get it over with so I go back and rejoice the way that I want and do the things that I want. I mean, do you have that attitude? Do you have that sense, okay, I'm here for a little time. I put out a slot on my day, but after that, I'm going to reclaim it and go do the things that I do. And he said, be careful. Be careful that you fall into this trap. That you do not set out the day, that you only set out some function as if it is fulfill the obligation, but it does not dictate the direction and the change and the transformation of the heart. Why such in a hurry? I mean, if the time for us to worship the Lord, it should be that commitment that show through. I mean, yeah, if we do something that wasting time of people is one thing. But if it is to come back and say, Lord, you must be center of my life. If the text takes another 5 minutes to finish, why am I in a hurry to get out so fast? Or maybe, you know, the pastor needs to discipline and get it done in this allotted time. I agree with that. But turn with me also to Leviticus 16. Because again and again, the Bible said, you must deny yourself. You must shed your agenda. You must put it aside. You cannot mix the two and be able to observe the day of the Lord. Leviticus 16:31, it is the Sabbath of rest. You must deny yourself. It is a lasting ordinance. See, you must deny yourself is the center understanding of this day. That's okay. We have this tendency to live for ourselves so much that God said every 7 day you must come back and repent of that sin and get rid of that tendency of you and reestablish the centrality of God, devotion of your heart, and set your priorities straight. And you cannot go very long, because when you go long, you go wrong again. So, you know, before it go bad on you again, the 7 day you're going to come back and reestablish and deny yourself and go through this process for the whole life. Because the moment you neglect this, guess what? You will deny the Lord and keep yourself at the center. I guarantee you that. And those who neglect the Sabbath, those who neglect the assembly, will indeed neglect the service of the Lord, neglect the pursuit of His kingdom, and the priority of His glory is no longer set out for them in the stirring of their heart and the desire of their soul. Let's listen to the way the prophet Isaiah put it so beautifully, but so poignantly to us in Isaiah 58. Let's turn there and we'll let our heart dwell on that as we close. Isaiah 58. It is talking about the whole chapter is about the assembly, the worship, and why the people are not pleasing to the Lord as they worship. And then close toward the end, you know, I want to read the whole thing, but let me just read from 13 and maybe double back to verse 8. Verse 13, chapter 58. If because of the Sabbath you turn your foot from doing your own pleasure on my holy day and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable, and honor it, desisting from your own ways, from seeking your own pleasure and speaking your own word, then you will take delight in the Lord, and I will make you ride on the heights of the earth, and I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. In this day you do not do what you please, the Lord said. In this day you do not go the way your own way. In this day you do not seek your own pleasure. In this day you do not speak your own word, he said. In this day you deny yourself. You must come back and say, I'm not going there. Why? Because of the Sabbath. The idea is, I'm heading out there, but because of the Sabbath, I'm stopped my foot there and I'm turned back. You know, I'm going to go my way, but I remember, I must set this day apart. I must honor the Lord on my day. So I'm not going to do that. I'm not, I will stop from pursuing my own pleasure on this holy day. This day is not the day to take your relatives to Disneyland. I mean, if they come to visit you, tell them to sit there until you come back. What's wrong with that? Tell them, I have the Lord more important than you, imagine. A good testimony for them. Or you say, okay, who cares about the Lord? Since you're my relative, let's make sure you're not offended. Because of my worship, let me go with you. What kind of communication is that? Call the Sabbath a delight, meaning pleasure and joy. Call the holy day of the Lord honorable. Set it aside with honor. Desisting from your own ways, from seeking your own pleasure, and speaking your own word. It's not the time to say, you know, how come this, how come that? This is the time when you take the light of the Lord. Let me just read from verse 8. He talked about all the fast and all the worship, and then he said, this is will be your blessing. Then your light will break out like the dawn, and your recovery will speedily spring forth, and your righteousness will go before you. The glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry, and He will say, here I am. If you remove the yoke from your midst, the pointing of finger and speaking wickedness, and if you give yourself to the hungry and satisfy the desire of the afflicted, then your light will rise in darkness, and your gloom will become like midday. And the Lord will continually guide you and satisfy your desire in scorched places, and give strength to your bones, and you will be like water garden, and like the spring of water whose waters do not fail. Those from among you will rebuild the ancient ruins. you will raise up the age-old foundations, and you will be called the repairers of the breach, the restorer of the streets in which to dwell. I will work my work in you. I will bring salvation through you, and you will be my servant. Because you understand the pattern of life, the priority of life, that your heart is right. So, let's go back and understand that. You know, I mentioned in the beginning, we break this commandment with regularity. We do not consider it sin. Under grace, we still must call it sin, and we must still repent. We must come back to the Lord and say, we dishonor you when we set ourselves and anything in us, our agenda before you. And Lord, forgive our sin as your people in the past have committed this sin, and you took them very seriously on that. You're not going to let us away. There's no immunity in this, so we repent. On the other side is the opening to vast blessing to know the Lord. He said that I will make you ride on the heights of the earth. I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob, your father. I will bring you into the faith that I have prepared for you. And you will be my people who serve not only me, but restore the people for my name's sake. It's us, each one of us, and the whole family. Remember, he said, even the donkeys, even the animals under our influence will observe this day. The next time we will respond to the heart of God and see why the people take this and go absolutely the wrong way. But I'm sure before we get there and say, oh, I'm not going that way, we must look on this side and say, maybe I'm the wrong spot, the same. That I need to commit to the centrality of God again to honor Him. Let's stand. How's the pattern of your life concerning the Lord? How's the devotion of your heart before Him? Lord, it is the day of great delight. It is the day that defines our existence. It is the day that celebrates salvation. It is the day that uplifts the name of He who died for our sin and restores us into the eternal fellowship with Him. But it is the day that we are separate out from the heathens, from the pagans, those who do not see you, know you, worship you. It is the day that we are showing ourselves different from them. But not just for 2 hours or so, but it is the statement of our life, Lord, that we belong to you and you are most important in us. Not always so, Lord, but we hear your voice. We want to commit. We ask for your grace. We ask for your strength. But Lord, remove from us this attitude that somehow we can come and go as we please. That somehow it is still our agenda, still our pleasure to pursue. That we determine what to do with this day. No, it is a Sabbath unto the Lord. It is the statement that we make. That we love you with everything that is in us. That you are the most important person in our life now and forever. Help us to prove it out, Lord. Help us to show it to ourselves, our children, our neighbors, our friends, each and every day. We thank you. We pray in Jesus' name.